The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the sponsor, Connell & Company.
News Radio Pensacola. It's the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm your host, Jake Walker. Thank you so much for joining me today. Don't know what's going on with the weather. It's like cool, awesome 1 minute, and I turn around the next minute, and it's kind of gloomy and gray. I don't know what's going on around here.
Welcome to Florida.
Exactly, yeah. Somebody the other day online took a picture of the same road at the same time of day during all four seasons. You couldn't tell. You couldn't tell the difference. It was really weird. But then other days, it's like that. I feel like it's a four different days in one, like yesterday. All right, so this morning on the show, I've got Will Maben and Angela Sherrill. They are realtors here in our area, and they are busy. I'm telling you, you need to get to them today. Call them. They're going to give out their personal cell phone numbers here in a minute. This is wild. I can't believe they do this. But they are on the job pretty much 24/7, 365 for you to make sure that the home buying and selling process is the most enjoyable process possible. And because there's lots of things that we don't know about this process. I've only bought and sold one home in my lifetime, and I don't think I really understood everything that happened during all of that. It was really kind of quick. I was like, oh my gosh, it's over. But that's why you guys are here. You have the heart of a teacher. You're ready to talk to anybody about this, and that's kind of what we're going to be doing today. Let's talk about some terms and some parts of this process that maybe people either don't know about or they don't understand how it works, and this could mean a big difference in our home buying process, right?
Yes.
Yeah. How are you guys doing this morning?
Good.
Yeah. Good. Don't be afraid. Get in there on that mic. Let's hear you.
As the weather is warming up, so is our business.
Right, a lot of people are driving around looking at houses.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. I was able to list a waterfront property on the Sound, and we've gotten calls about it. Very interested. 147 feet, and People are starting to put their properties back on the market, and yes, the prices are a little bit higher. Mm-hmm. Please don't be deterred. It does not mean that that is the price. That's the ask. It's the beginning of the conversation.
Okay, because a lot of times when I look at home prices, I think, wow, that's out of my range. It's just at the top of my budget. Maybe it's a little bit too much. And then I just kind of don't think about it anymore after that. But is there usually always this wiggle room, this area for negotiation?
Well, negotiations is a big part of this entire process. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it may not always be the price that you're negotiating on. You know, if the seller really wants this price, they may be willing to give more concessions or pay for your closing costs or help you buy down interest rate points to make the payments cheaper. There's a lot of options, and really the asking price is the start of a negotiation. You know what they want. Now you got to figure out what you want, and we've got to find a way to get everybody to meet in the middle, and that's what we do.
What are some of the things that you can ask for during this process?
Well, like I said, you can ask for interest rate buy-downs. You can ask for closing costs to be paid by the seller. You can ask for changes or upgrades on different things. There's so much on the table when we start a negotiation that what the ultimate goal of any seller is to sell their property, and they have to have a buyer willing to pay for their property.
Right.
So buyers and sellers, we work as the people in the middle to try to get to a good deal for both parties.
What if somebody is selling their current home and they want to move into this new home, but there's a time delay there because they have to close everything on the other house? How does all that work, and do you have any leverage there to ask for more time?
Well, and you might not need more time. You may be able to work a rent back program or rent the new home days before the sale of your home and still be able to move straight into it. Oh. So those are options that could be on the table.
Okay.
Also part of those concessions that I was talking about. For each buyer, it's going to be different on what they need.
Right. You too can you can have an extended closing. Mm-hmm. What we are finding is that properties are on the market a little bit longer. We're also finding that, you know, some buyers have said, you know, hey, would a seller be willing to do any kind of seller financing? Another question that we are seeing a little more of is, do you have a secondary financing market, which is kind of an interesting concept?
What is a secondary financing market?
Well, it is people, and this is where you really do have to have an agent that has quite a bit of experience. Is there are people in the financial world that look for, want to invest. They have money that they are able to invest, and they would be the bank for an individual. And so I recently was asked about this. And so anyway, I've been working to figure that market out. Mm-hmm. And so I think we're going to see buyers and sellers that are willing to be a little more creative, because somebody always has something to sell and somebody always has something to buy. Mm. So, you know, again, having experience on your side.
So I'm guessing that these investors you're talking about, instead of just buying the property themselves,
right,
and dealing with all of the risks and all of the time involved of it sitting on the market and then having to refab or whatever, they basically just finance a buyer
exactly. To
buy the home. And then if that buyer doesn't make that payment, then mm-hmm. they have an investment property on their hands.
Yes.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, yeah. But that's anything really. That's a traditional agreement as well. You know, if you don't pay, you lose it. But but that might be a way to get better terms, maybe, you know, lower financing costs and fees and things like that. On the terminology list you guys gave me, I noticed this term called assignability. What is assignability? What does that mean?
Well, oftentimes, mostly you see this with VA, mm-hmm. and you're able to assign your loan to a prospective buyer. Where that's a big deal is a lot of these VA loans that I'm seeing today for assignability are at 3% and 4% interest. Mm-hmm. So you're able to reassign it usually to another VA buyer. Of course, if they're not VA buyers, then VA is not going to allow it to assign. And right. The VA would have the final say on who you could assign it to.
Okay.
Right. Another way of looking at assignability is, for instance, you have investment buyers. Mm-hmm. And so as part of the offer, they check the box that that they want to make this assignable. Well, if the seller agrees to assigning it, the buyer has to tell you who it will be assigned to. Mm. So, I mean, that would be something that Will and I would say, okay, you know, Joe Buyer, you have 3 days to let us know who it is going to be assigned to. Sometimes you have parents who are purchasing a home for their child.
Okay.
And so, or their grandchild. Mm-hmm. So that would be a simple example.
Somebody just sent in a text. If you have questions or comments, let us know. 437-1620. I've got Will Maben and Angela Sherrill in the studio. They are realtors here ready to help you from Connell & Company. Somebody texted in, what about assumable loans? Is this connected to assignability, or how does the assumable loans work?
The assumable loan, one more time, has to be approved by the bank who... Mm-hmm. holds the original mortgage. And assuming that mortgage is simple, as long as the bank will allow it, and oftentimes you can get lower interest rates on that.
With VA in general is what we're seeing.
Right, with VA. A lot of the others aren't doing it as much right now. And then as with the contract assignability, just to touch on that, not always does that assignability release the first person. right. in there, they're still obligated on the contract to fulfill if the party that they're assigning to does not
follow through.
Right.
Sorry, I'm getting calls and texts here. I've got somebody on the line here. Hold just one moment, sir, and I'll get right back with you. I've got calls coming in. I got two or three calls here, and I got people texting in. So 437-1620, it's starting to light up here. Who was my first caller? I have Michael from Pensacola. Michael, are you there with us?
I am. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes. What's your question this morning?
I recently read that the way that buyers and sellers agents get paid is changing. So I wanted to ask if the agents you're speaking with, do they offer a flat rate for someone who maybe doesn't need all the bells and whistles and extra features?
That's a terrific question. Appreciate you calling in. Yes, everything is negotiable. And so people need to understand that. We are in the business of being helpful. And so if that is the best way that we can, as a listing agent, if we can help a seller, for instance, just write up the contract, some money is better than no money. We don't work for free, and a lot of what we do,
of course,
tends to be very litigious. But to your point, everything is negotiable. Yes, we want to be helpful. I don't represent buyers, but I want a buyer to work with me because they feel like I have the ability to help them get to closing.
Like they've made their best decision.
Right.
Let me start by saying happy Thursday. And just to touch on that, you said changes. Now, in Florida, the negotiation for a commission has always been on the table. And that is one where you can always sit down with your agent and negotiate. Oftentimes, though, the party that's paying has already negotiated it for you if you're a buyer. The seller is usually negotiating at the time of the listing agreement. And I hope that helps clear up some things for you. If you need help with anything, please feel free to reach out to Angela or myself, and we'd be happy to help you.
Go ahead and give out your cell phone numbers real quick. We haven't done that yet. Michael, thank you so much for your call, and stay tuned for their phone numbers here.
Yeah. Michael, my number is 850-292-3165.
And my name is Will Maben. I work with Cannell & Company Realty. My phone number is 850-261-7020. Look forward to hearing from everybody.
All right. 437-1620. Join the conversation. I've got another caller on the line. I didn't get a chance to get your name and where you're calling from. Hello, caller. Are you there?
Talking to me?
Oh, yes. Yes. I'm sorry. Talking to you, sir. Yeah. How are you doing this morning?
Okay. Yeah. My name is Jim Cantoman.
All right. What's your question?
Got a question for you. My brother bought a home on a VA loan and has since passed away last December. The house was left to my mother in the will. It went through probate. They put the home in my mother's name, but the finance company does not yet know that my brother has passed. My question is, what does she have to do? She's been making the payments for the last 11 years on the home.
Wow.
Off of his VA loan.
Right. I would believe that your mom needs to contact the VA and have them send a letter stating, I would assume also too, that your mom needs to provide a death certificate.
Yes, they had to do that when they went through probate.
Correct. So that's a conundrum.
It is. On that, I believe that the best way is just go straight forward. deal with the problem head on, talk to the VA, see how the best way to work it out. And if she's choosing to sell it, you know, the assignability of the loan might not be there, but she could have good value in that home as well.
Sure. Right.
Yeah, it's got quite a bit of value, but when she went through probate, of course, she used an attorney, and the attorney said that just to continue making the payments as of now, don't do anything. And that's where I did not like how that came out. I mean, you kind of have to let the mortgage company know.
Yes, I think you do. And also, too, if she's paying all of the property taxes, and obviously she's paying the mortgage, I would assume that it's now deeded to her.
Yeah, the probate judge said that if you looked up on Escambia County now,
yes, sir,
who owns this said property, it is in my mother's name.
Right. And right. I would assume that her insurance, that his insurance transfer, if she's insuring the property, which she would need to because it is because it has a mortgage on it.
Through the mortgage,
right.
Yes.
That it's everybody
the company, and she's just continuing to make the payment.
Right. Yeah. Right. I think, as Will said, I would send the documentation saying who she is and why she is now owner of record. And the owner of record has the deed. And so that would be the best way in my mind.
Right. Just approach it head on.
What she's concerned about is when they refinanced the home before he passed away, it was, I think it's at 2.5, and market now is much higher than that, and her income is only about $32,000 a year. They owe about $146,000 on the property. Mm-hmm. She's afraid that if they notify the mortgage company that she's not going to qualify for a mortgage with her income, and, you know, if in fact she did, it would be at a much higher interest rate.
And that is a true concern as you move forward.
With her income and being, you know, she's 74 years old.
Yeah,
right.
So that's a low income.
She's retired.
If I could say this, if you would either contact Will or myself, or your mother, contact either Will or myself.
Or
both.
Yeah.
We can put our heads together. We can help problem solve for your mom. Mm-hmm. Give her some suggestions.
The biggest worry is that the VA could try to call the loan.
Right. Okay, my phone number and my name is Angela Sherrill, and my number is 850-292-3165.
And I'm Will Maben. My phone number is 850-261-9.
All righty. And your other number is what?
850-261-7020.
And if you didn't get all of that correctly, you can contact Cannell and Company.
Cannell and Company. And we post everything as a podcast on our website. You can go to newsradio923.com. and check that out. Sir, thank you for your call today. I hope we can get a resolution for you. And that's a tough situation. There's lots of things to consider, especially when it just comes to family passing and homes and real estate. 437-1620 if you have questions or comments. I've got Will Maben and Angela Sherrill in the studio. We were talking earlier about the offers and people seeing the list price and how that's sort of a start of a conversation. I like the way you look at that. What constitutes a good offer? Because I watch these shows on television all the time, and they're always going in under ask, and then they're doing this really high tense negotiation to get to the final number, and then they drink champagne and everything. Yeah, they're partying. But that's really not the way it happens, right?
No.
Okay. So what is a good offer? Should you just always go in at asking price, or... because I know we get a multiple offer situation sometimes in this area. How does that work?
And believe it or not, for the first time this year, I write a lot of offers.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first time this year, I found myself in 3 different multiple offer situations.
Wow.
Obviously, it's spring and it is heating up out there.
Mm-hmm.
Interest rates or no interest rates, people are still buying houses. They still need places to live.
Yep.
So what I recommend is, you know, there's another person on the other side of the deal, mm-hmm. Always, and try to go in fair. I usually recommend that you don't ever go in 10% below asking price, because you just end up with a rejection.
Right. Just insults them a little bit.
Right. And, yeah. You know, you don't want to start a conversation that way. Remember, we're trying to bring them to the table to negotiate, mm-hmm. not push them away.
Right.
And it seems like that 10% mark is the magic number for them to just reject.
Right.
So there's a lot of creative things that you can think about before putting in an offer. And I usually will speak with and coach buyers on this. Now, where our offer amount goes in, it might not be way below the asking price, but we could be asking them to cover all of the closing costs, give us money to buy down our interest rates, because there's a program in the financing where only the seller of the property can get you a 2-to-1 buy down rate. Mm. And that's buying down double the points for the same money as you would be able to do. So getting that money could be far more valuable than removing $10,000 from the asking price.
Right, right.
It'll save you money for years as opposed to an instant $10,000. And $10,000 over 30 years really only works out to about $40 a month.
Hmm. Right. And most people are falling. They need it quite a bit lower.
Right.
It's $40 a month.
Exactly.
And also, too, maybe there's some updates that you're wanting to do. Maybe you go in at closer to ask, and you ask the seller, hey, would you give us a flooring allowance?
Hmm.
You know, would you give us a painting allowance? Would you cover the new roof?
Right.
You know, there are... You need to be resourceful and creative in this mm-hmm. business.
Especially when it comes to insurance rates, you can say, hey, look, if you want me to buy this house, help me out on the roof. Let's go halvesies maybe mm-hmm. because you can't get insured without that roof sometimes.
Right.
There's a lot to go into this process. And, you know, I'm going to ask the question even though I obviously know the answer, but why don't we just go in alone? Why don't we just contact the people and say, hey, I'm so-and-so. I want to buy your house. Let's talk. Let's negotiate. You know, why do we need experts? I mean, like I said, I already know the answer to this question. But with all this that we've talked about, if you're just joining us, why do we need experts like yourselves in this process?
Well, for many people, this is the largest investment of their lifetime.
Mm, you're right.
And you're going to live here if you're going to call it home, mm-hmm. don't you want to trust it to an expert?
Right.
To make sure it's going to be yours and you don't have somebody coming back along and claiming your property or... Mm. Getting you to overpay or...
They can come back and claim the property? That happens?
There's a reason that there's insurance, title insurance policies
wow.
that are issued.
Wow.
It
See,
does
there's so
happen.
Much stuff. There's so much stuff to this, so much paperwork. And that's why you guys are here. And that's why you do what you do. And thank you for that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Will Maben, Angela Sherrill, go to buysellcanel.com, right?
Yep.
And let's give your phone numbers out real quick.
Angela, 850-292-3165. Look forward to hearing from
yep.
you.
Will Maben, 850-261-7020. Thanks to all the callers today.
Yes, thank you. We'll be right back.
The Crystal Award in recognition of year-round community service.